Dr. Zorba Pastor joining me on the phone, and he's the name and personality probably well known to public radio listeners because he does his own public radio show called Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And we're going to talk about a particular problem that it's one that probably we consider more of a historical problem, gout, and I guess probably most people would consider that a problem of Henry VIII. But, Dr. Pastor, it's still a malady that affects a lot of Americans.
Absolutely. Gout is on the rise. There are probably anywhere between 4 and 5 million Americans who have gout. And just because Henry VIII had it, just because Ben Franklin had it and Jefferson had it and all the others, doesn't mean we don't have it. And in fact, it's a common problem. It is the most common inflammatory arthritis in men in America today, and it's just not something people talk about.
Now, is this like, and obviously there are various types of arthritis. Is this thing that can come and go, or is this something once you've got it, you've got it?
Well, it comes and goes in terms of flares. Gout is where you have an elevated uric acid, so that's step number one. Uric acid is a metabolic byproduct of metabolism. You take protein, you digest protein, uric acid is left. Some people produce too much of it, some people under-excrete it, and when it builds up in the bloodstream, if you have the genetic predisposition, you then develop gout, which are these flares, intense pain, swelling, redness in the affected joint. And once you have the predisposition, you may have the flares. Some people get a flare once a month. Some people get a flare once a year or once every 2 or 3 years. But basically, once you've got it, you sort of have it forever. You just may not flare all the time.
Diet is obviously a very important component of this. So is that a product of maybe our Western, essentially, financial success?
Well, yes, certainly our Western diet plays a role. The increase in gout we've seen parallels the increase in obesity. But diet plays the minor role in terms of the treatment of gout. We used to think, well, follow the cardboard diet, you know, make sure that you limit the amount of certain proteins in your body. Stop all shellfish, not that we eat that much in the Midwest. Stop all beer, not that we drink that much. Of course, we do drink more than we should sometimes in certain places. But the fact is, if you do everything, you can lower your uric acid only about 1 point. And people with gout often have an elevated uric acid in the 10 range, and they need to get it down in the 6 range. So only working on diet is not going to be successful. It has to be diet plus a medication to lower uric acid.
What about now for a lot of types of arthritis, you know, usually sometimes exercise is said to be a good thing. What about with this or perhaps during the flare-ups? Does exercise have any role in this?
Well, you can't exercise during the flare. It's too painful. You get a red-hot swollen toe, and half the flares are in the gray toe. You don't move much. You sort of hang out. Now, but overall, exercise is always good. More exercise, less weight, less high-fructose corn syrup, which means less soda pop. Those things are certainly going to play a role and are going to make it a little bit less likely you're going to flare. But ultimately, the reason that you flare is uric acid is too high in the bloodstream and it tends to precipitate out in the joints. And it's very, very kind of caustic to the joints. It makes it really red and hot and tender. So although exercise plays a role, it's the minor role once you actually have gout. Just like exercise plays a role in diabetes, but you still have to take your medicine for diabetes. Just like exercise plays a role in high blood pressure, but you still have to take your medicine for high blood pressure. It's the same with gout.
Now, steroids, though, is one method of treatment, and we're not talking like the Barry Bonds type, A-Rod type steroids.
No, not at all. It's for the flare. Generally, the treatments for flare are either anti-inflammatory drugs called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, ibuprofen in pharmaceutical doses, 800 milligrams 3 times a day, or Indocin, another very good drug, or oral steroids for 5 to 7 days will work, or an old drug called colchicine. And those are drugs that we often get for the flare. And you've got to get the flare under control before you get to the root cause of gout, which is too much uric acid. You don't reduce the uric acid during a flare because it'll make the flare worse. You wait until the flare has succeeded and improved.
Is there anything in terms of medication to help prevent the flares, or do you, in a sense, is it reactive treating the flare once it occurs?
Well, the medication that you want to take to basically reduce the flares, that's exactly what you want to do. So the medication that's been on the market, the only medication that's really been effective and used on the market, is a drug called allopurinol. And that drug was developed 40 years ago. It's very effective for a lot of people. For many people, it reduces their flares and works well. But there's a new kid on the block, a drug called Uloric, and the new medication and the 80 milligram dose is more effective than allopurinol. And that drug is very, very useful for people who have not reached that magic number of 6.0, so that they're still at risk for having flares and some of the other side effects of high uric acid. And it's effective for people who essentially continue to have gout problems. And that's really one of the things that's really new in terms of gout treatment, is we now have two drugs. We have an older drug that works for many people, and we have a newer drug that works for maybe 20-30% of the population who continues to have flares on the old drug. I mean, the goal is to be flare-free, and when people have flares, they blame it on their diet. They'll say, well, I had an extra beer today, that's why I flared. Well, they had an extra beer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Why'd they flare on Friday? Well, it wasn't the beer, because they drank it every night. It's because their uric acid was too high.
In terms of the fact that men, as you say, get it more often than women, does that mean there's essentially a genetic predisposition to it, or is it just a statistical anomaly that men, or is there something that makes men more likely to get this in the first place?
No, there must be some sort of a genetic predisposition. We know that when women stop producing estrogen, then they're more likely to get gout. So it may be that women's producing estrogen throughout their lifetime until they're in their 50s is really what protects them. And that's probably a lot of the risk factor, the fact that it's not just predisposed to men, it's that women have a protective effect of estrogen. Because once women stop taking estrogen, they start to develop similar risk pattern to men. But genes play a role, and we have yet to exactly figure out why genes play the role that they do. In other words, we haven't identified the gout gene, if you will, that makes men more likely to get it.
Well, let me ask you, is gout ever misdiagnosed? It sounds like the symptoms are pretty obvious, but do people ever go through perhaps a problem when they're misdiagnosed? Or?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If you've got a red-hot swollen gray toe, chances are very likely you have gout, and that's about 50% of the gout cases. But gout can affect the knee, it can affect the ankles, it can affect the wrist, and often it is misdiagnosed. Often if it's a red-hot swollen joint, people think that it's an infection. They're given antibiotics, they hurt for 3 to 5 days, they get better, and the infection keeps on coming over and over again, and it's not an infection, it's gout. And the same for problems, with the wrist. The less well-known joints, if you will, other than the gray toe, are ones that are more likely to be misdiagnosed, not given the correct diagnosis of gout. But a good clinician, a good family doctor, a good internist is able to differentiate gout from other problems, pretty much so, and render an opinion, and then measure things. For instance, if you measure uric acid during a flare, it's not going to be high because all of the uric acid has gone into the joints. You've got to measure uric acid 2 weeks later. That's when it's more likely to be high, and that's when you're more likely to cinch the diagnosis.
How important is accurate diagnosis early? Because it sounds like with the crystals building up there that if you're not diagnosed properly, that you could do a lot of joint damage before you are, say, properly diagnosed. And is that the case?
Well, some people do go on to joint damage. You know, there's some people that get flares and don't have joint damage, but the more flares you get, the higher the uric acid is, the more likely you are to have permanent damage and joint damage. So the goal is to make the diagnosis on a timely basis and treat to goal, which is a uric acid of 6.
Dr. Zorba Pastor, my guest. He's a clinical professor at the Department of Family Medicine, University of Wisconsin. And he also is host of his weekly call-in radio program, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, talking about the probably less than well-known problem of gout in the United States. And, Doctor, where could we go for more information? The Internet is such a great resource these days.
I would go to gout.com. Easy to spell, G-O-U-T, gout.com. It's a great website. It's got some good information, tells you what the diagnostic criteria are, tells you what the medications are, gives you some other good information on there. And frankly, anyone who has gout or thinks they have gout, that's the site you should visit because it's really got some dynamite stuff on there. Gout.com, that's what I would recommend.
Dr. Zorba Pastor, my guest, talking about gout, a problem for Henry VIII and also many Americans. Thank you so much, Doctor. Great talking with you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.